welcome. Here we are at the Divine Office podcast for evening prayer. I actually did part of an office earlier, so we'll omit our invitatory that we customarily do. Gosh, this is getting on to the end of the night, so the perfect time for evening prayer is probably about an hour ago, but this is going to be our perfect time for tonight. God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Just a friendly reminder that this is the year to pray, to reflect on the Word of God, to pray the Rosary, to pray the indulgence intentions like the Pope's Daily Prayer Network. So many graces just for some simple prayers, that you joined with the Church in doing are here. Let's begin with the song for evening prayer. Father, we thank thee who has planted thy holy name within our hearts, knowledge and faith and life immortal, Jesus thy Son to us imparts. Thou, Lord, didst make all for thy pleasure, didst give man food for all his days, giving in Christ the bread eternal. Thine is the power, be thine the praise. Watch over thy Church, O Lord, in mercy, save it from evil, guard it still. Perfected in thy love, united, cleansed and conformed unto thy will. As grain once scattered on the hillsides was in this broken bread made one, so from all lands thy Church be gathered into thy kingdom by thy Son. And we begin with our special antiphon to encircle Psalm 145. Praise of God's Majesty is the caption. Antiphon 1. Day after day I will bless you, Lord. I will tell of your marvelous deeds and how kind he is to us. Our sentence from Scripture is Revelation 16:5. Lord, you are the just one who was and who is. I will give you glory, O God, my King. I will bless your name forever. I will bless you day after day and praise your name forever. The Lord is great, highly to be praised. His greatness cannot be measured. Age to age shall proclaim your works, shall declare your mighty deeds, shall speak of your splendor and glory, tell the tale of your wonderful works. They will speak of your terrible deeds, recount your greatness and might. Day after day I will bless you, Lord. I will tell of your marvelous deeds. They will recall your abundant goodness. Age to age shall ring out your justice. The Lord is kind and full of compassion, slow to anger, abounding in love. How good is the Lord to all, compassionate to all his creatures. All your creatures shall thank you, O Lord, and your friends shall repeat their blessing. They shall speak of the glory of your reign and declare your might, O God. Day after day I will bless you, Lord. I will tell of your marvelous deeds, to make known to men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your reign. Yours is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule lasts from age to age. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Take a moment of sacred silence now. We won't erase it. We'll give you a sacred moment. In honor of Mary's gifts from God our Father, pour out your richest blessings on us, on our prayer group, on our apostolate, and grant us the wisdom to navigate under Mary's protection through all the dangers of this life. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. As I said, spread the effective grace of thy flame of love is a special prayer called the Flame of Love Insert. You know, many priests, like the Ascension Ministry priests, they say you can insert something that helps you meditate into the middle of the Hail Mary, so it's not against any rules. And that is actually a very special private devotion that's approved by the Catholic Church. Day after day I will bless you, Lord, I will tell of your marvelous deeds. Antiphon 2. To you alone, Lord, we look with confidence. You are ever close to those who call upon you. The Lord is faithful in all his words and loving in all his deeds. The Lord supports all who fall and raises all who are bowed down. The eyes of all creatures look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open wide your hand, grant the desires of all who live. The Lord is just in all his ways and loving in all his deeds. He is close to all who call him, who call on him from their hearts. To you alone, Lord, we look with confidence. You are ever close to those who call upon you. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. The Lord protects all who love him, but the wicked he will utterly destroy. Let me speak the praise of the Lord. Let all mankind bless his holy name forever, for ages unending. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, to be near to all, you have given us Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They are always with us, and on those who call on his name in truth, and you increase the devotion of those who love you. Teach us to be grateful for your gifts. Hear our prayers and come to save us, that we may learn more deeply your love for us. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Son, we pray for all of your intentions and all the things that we need from the Son of God. In honor of Mary's gifts in bearing the Son of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. To you alone, Lord, we look with confidence. You are ever close to those who call upon you. Antiphon 3, King of all the ages, your ways are perfect and true. Revelation 15, just a few verses is our third prayer. Mighty and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who would dare refuse you honor or the glory due your name, O Lord? Since you alone are holy, all nations shall come and worship in your presence. Your mighty deeds are clearly seen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. King of all the ages, your ways are perfect and true. In honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit, grant us the fullness of the Spirit of grace in the ways that we can make ourselves more available. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Pray for us, O Holy Virgin, Mother of God. Amen. Now our short reading would have been just two verses, Romans 8, 1 through 2, but I want to take the opportunity. We have a great reading from St. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians from the office readings, and you can always exchange the shorter reading in evening or morning prayer for the longer reading from office of readings for the day. So that's a good thing to know about the church's rules for the hours, for the prayers of the hours. So a reading from chapter 2, verses 1 through 17 of 2 Thessalonians, the day of the Lord is the caption. On the question of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we beg you, brothers, not to be so easily agitated or terrified, whether by an articular utterance or rumor or a letter alleged to be ours, into believing that the day of the Lord is here. Let no one seduce you, no matter how, since the mass apostasy has not yet occurred, nor the man of lawlessness been revealed, that son of perdition and adversary who exalts himself above every so-called god proposed for worship. He who sees himself in God's temple and even declares himself to be God. Do you not remember how I used to tell you about these things when I was still with you? You know what restrains him until he shall be revealed in his own time. The secret force of lawlessness is already at work, mind you, but there is one who holds him back until that restrainer shall be taken from the scene. Thereupon the lawless one will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will destroy him with the breath of his mouth and annihilate him by the manifestation, by the manifesting of his own presence. This lawless one will appear as part of the workings of Satan, accompanied by all the power and signs and wonders at the disposal of falsehood. By every seduction the wicked can devise, for those destined to ruin because they have not opened their hearts to the truth in order to be saved. Therefore, God is sending upon them a perverse spirit, which leads them to give credence to falsehood, so that all who have not believed the truth but have delighted in evil doing will be condemned. We are bound to thank God for you always, beloved brothers in the Lord, because you are the first fruits of those whom God has chosen for salvation in holiness of spirit and fidelity to truth. He called you through our preaching of the good news, so that you might achieve the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers, stand firm. Hold fast to the traditions you received from us, either by our word or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself, may God our Father, who loved us and in his mercy gave us strength, consolation, and hope, console your hearts and strengthen them for every good word, every good work and word. Responsory prayer. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all on earth will see the Son of Man coming with great power and majesty. Then the evil one will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth. And all on earth will see the Son of Man coming with great power and majesty. So in case you're wondering, the reason why the Thessalonians would have known that this raw letter actually came from Paul and they could trust it rather than a letter addressed to be us would be because he would send one of his trusted co-workers who would have been personally known to him to deliver the letter, and that's how they would have known, because there would have been this trust among co-workers. So, second, and of course that was just handed on in their church and then became part of the canonical tradition because of the inspiration and the beauty and the power of the letter. So we'll read from a homily by a spiritual writer of the 4th century in place of a short homily. May you be filled with the complete fullness of Christ is the caption. Again, this is our second reading from the Office of Readings for today. Those who have been considered, and unfortunately it doesn't really explain a lot, it just opens up a little bit about the character of what people are called to do as Christians living through difficult times, who we're supposed to be. Those who have been considered worthy to go forth as the sons of God and to be born again of the Holy Spirit from on high, and who hold within them the Christ who renews them and fills them with light, are directed by the Spirit and varied in many different ways, and in their spiritual repose they are led indivisibly in their hearts by grace. At times they are like men who mourn and lament over their fellow men, and pouring forth prayers for the whole human race, they plunge into tears and lamentation, on fire with spiritual love for mankind. At other times they are enkindled by the Spirit with such love and exaltation that were it possible, they would clasp in their embrace all mankind, without discrimination, good and bad alike. Sometimes they are cast down below all mankind in loneliness of spirit, so that they reckon theirs to be the lowest and most abject of conditions. And sometimes they are held by the Spirit in ineffable joy. At one time, they are like a brave man who puts on the king's full armor and goes down into battle. He fights bravely against the enemy and defeats them. In like manner, the spiritual man takes up the heavenly arms of the spirit and marches against the enemy, and engaging in battle, tramples the foe beneath his feet. At another time, the soul is at rest in deepest silence, tranquility and peace, existing in sheer spiritual pleasure and in ineffable repose and a perfect state. Again, the soul is instructed by grace in a certain understanding, in the ineffable wisdom and the inscrutable knowledge of the Spirit, on matters which neither tongue nor lips can utter. Then again, the soul becomes like any ordinary man. In such varied ways does grace work within them, and many are the means by which it leads the soul, renewing it according to God's will, and training it in different ways, so that it may be set before the Heavenly Father, pure and whole and blameless. We too, therefore, must make our prayer to God, and entreat, in love and in great hope, that He may bestow upon us the heavenly grace of the gift of the Spirit. We pray that we too may be guided by the Spirit, and that He may lead us into the fullness of divine will, and refresh us with the varied kinds of His repose, that by the help of this guidance, exercise of grace and spiritual advancement, we may be considered worthy to attain to the perfection of the fullness of Christ, as the Apostle says, that you may be filled to the complete fullness of Christ. Responsory Prayer. You have been anointed by the Holy One, and this anointing which you have received from Him has remained with you. You do not need anyone to teach you, for His anointing teaches you all things. Rejoice and be glad in the Lord your God, for He has given us a teacher to instruct us in holiness. You do not need anyone to teach you, for His anointing teaches you all things. What a great, graced prayer. And we continue to go on to the Canticle of Mary for evening prayer. Antiphon, remember your mercy, Lord, the promise of mercy you made to our fathers. And then we have the Canticle itself. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He has looked with favor on His lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. He has mercy on those who fear Him in every generation. He has shown the strength of His arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has come to the help of His servant Israel, for He has remembered His promise of mercy, the promise He made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Remember your mercy, Lord, the promise of mercy you made to our fathers. Let us pray to Christ, the source of hope, for all who know His name. The response would be, Lord, have mercy, but we can say it once at the end, or after each petition. Christ, our frail humanity is prone to fall. Strengthen us through your help. Left to itself, our nature is inclined to sin. Let your love always restore it to grace. Lord, sin offends you. Repentance pleases you. Do not punish us in your wrath, even when we have sinned. You forgave the penitent woman and placed the wandering sheep on your shoulders. Do not deprive us of your mercy. By your death on the cross, you opened the gates of heaven. Admit into your kingdom all who have hoped in you. We pray for all of your personal intentions and that we will be united with this dying of Christ by our repentance and sorrow for sin, and our acts of mercy or penitence, and that we will rise with great joy on Sunday morning and even on the weekend to celebrate His supernatural grace. We pray for all the Association of Marian Helpers, led by their leaders in the religious family of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. We pray for Bill to recover his health fully. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. God our Father, you brought salvation to all mankind through the suffering of Christ your Son. May your people strive to offer themselves to you as a living sacrifice, and be filled with the abundance of your love. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Now, here we go. And so again, always remember to ask for at least a partial and really plenary indulgence for doing this each day. So you should be able to get something either for yourself, plenary indulgence or partial indulgence, or for a soul in purgatory, plenary indulgence or partial indulgence. So when I was in foundational catechist formation, the second level of catechist formation, which I'm still working on going through, but one of the most powerful things you can do is really good. Just pray through the Gospels. So they focus on keeping you in the Gospels and learning how you can do Lectio Divina, our traditional way of hearing God's word for us personally, and having a powerful experience with Scriptures. Just do that on a little tiny bit and pray through the Gospels. Keep praying through the Gospels your whole life long, they said. So, you know, you can pick a really short passage. A lot of times these NABRA Bibles, the New American Bibles Revised Edition, have these little passages by bold headlines. And you just take a little tiny bit, you take a few minutes with it, and you're going to be shocked if you do that with faith, hope, and love, and you're frequenting the sacraments. You're going to be shocked at how much that's going to help you. So just as an example, I'm going and praying through the Gospel of Mark right now, which also happens to be the weekly Mass readings at the daily Mass in most places. So we were just in the bread section where Jesus speaks about bread and feeds 4,000 and so, and then 5,000. And right after that, and the interspersed specific healings of the man who was deaf and dumb, and also the other, I believe, the blind man, he talks to the disciples. So this would be my passage for this morning. They had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. He enjoined them, "Watch out, guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They concluded among themselves that it was because they had no bread. When he became aware of this, he said to them, "Why do you conclude that it is because you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or comprehend? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and not see, ears and not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many wicker baskets full of fragments you picked up?" They answered him, 12. "When I broke the 7 loaves for the 7,000, how many full baskets of fragments did you pick up?" They answered him, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" When they arrived at Bethsaida, they brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Putting spittle on his eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked him, "Do you see anything?" Looking up, he replied, "I see people looking like trees and walking." Then he laid his hands on his eyes a second time, and he saw clearly. His sight was restored, and he could see everything distinctly. Then he sent him home and said, "Do not even go into the village." Now Jesus and his disciples set out for all the villages of Caesarea Philippi. While along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked him, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Messiah." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. And then I read a little bit more, but you see, those are three little sections marked off by the bold headings. I liked a longer passage because I'm more of a student right now, and it helps me contextualize and learn as I'm going along and have a little bit more context. But you can just take one of those little passages or whatever, even verses, and you can pray with it. And also a cool thing is when you're doing this on Lexio on the office reading like we did, I always like to look, what is God saying to me through the combination of the office reading? So we have the end times doctrine, Paul insisting upon me clinging to the authentic traditions, Peter's confession of faith, and a warning from Jesus about the leaven of the Pharisees and the teaching of the Pharisees and the teaching of Herod, and the attitude and impressions of the apostles. And from that, you can actually come up with quite a bit. Again, this is our food for prayer as Catholics. So I hope that you enjoy this. Again, remember to say the Our Father and the Hail Mary for the Pope's monthly intentions. It's well worth your time. And remember to offer God each day your little prayer, offering him your day, and to continue praying with Scripture throughout this year of hope, because there's never been this much grace available for ourselves and for those souls that we love, as I think there is in 2025, 2026 as well. I think will be another year of grace, though not in the official way. So I hope you have a great rest of your day. You can refer to the sheets on this page. They teach you about that prayer, that traditional Catholic form of enhancing your prayer with Scripture called Lexio Divina. Sheets are here on the website.